Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Lisa Lisa Show. This is Lisa Lisa speaking to you live from the studio. I hope that this is a clear connection because I have to tell you, it sounded a little funny to me when she was connecting. So I say she because it's an English woman's voice that comes on and tells me when my show is going to begin. Anyway, so I would have to say that spring has finally arrived. Spring, excuse me. See where my mind is. Fall has finally fallen. I said that last week, didn't I? Well, it's gotten very chilly. And technically, it was beautiful yesterday. It was in the 70s. And today, I don't think it's going to get above 60, 68, 66, something like that. Although you never know, when they say that, it usually goes higher. But I was looking at the weather, and we're actually going to dip down into the 30s by the weekend. So it's going to be like 39 degrees this weekend. I am not looking forward to that. So today I wore my Technicolor dream coat because I wanted to be cozy and warm. So there's a lot of things that are going on. I have to say that I've been quite the busy little Bieber. And there are a couple of things that I want to tell you, but I will have to wait another week or so till the bird is in the hand. Best way to put that. So Friday, I went to Connecticut with a group of friends to see an art show at the University of Connecticut. I have to tell you, it was a very, very nice show. North and South Korean artists. I think there was one outsider in that group that was not from either the North or the South of Korea. But the show was really well put together. So we made a special trip to go and see the show with the curator. So three artists and a curator and a car of arguments. It was a very, 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 very long trip. Getting there was about 3.5 hours. Getting home was like almost 5 hours. It was like ridiculous. And I was watching GPS, and for like an hour and change, it just kept saying that we still had 2 hours and 57 minutes. And it stayed that way for over an hour. So what are you going to do? You cannot fight Mother Nature. And the problem more was, all right, well, there were two factors. Factor number one was the weather. It was very inclement. It was raining on and off, but it was never torrential and it wasn't storming. We never got, you know, soaked in a deluge. We never got stuck in, you know, the rain. It was only every time I got in the car, there'd be a little bit of a spitting and then a whisper. And then it would, you know, go away. But everybody drives like crazy idiots when the roads are wet. Just wait for winter. And then, so the other thing is that it was at the height of rush hour. And, you know, that was it. We were in the thick of it. We left it a little after 4. And we didn't get home until almost 9 o'clock. Yes, it was crazy. I'm not kidding. It was like almost 5 hours. We stopped, I think, twice. Once was a hot chocolate bathroom run. I had hot chocolate. They had one had coffee and the other one had ice cream and one just stretched his legs and had a cigarette. Actually, he was the coffee drinker. That was the curator. Coffee and cigarettes. You know, I thought it was artists that drank coffee and smoked. I haven't smoked in a very, very long time. And I have to tell you, 99% of the time, I do not miss smoking. Every now and then, I miss smoking, and it's more it's not about the smoke. I definitely don't miss the taste in my mouth, and I don't miss I don't really miss smoking. I miss rolling my own cigarettes, because I always smoked filterless, and, you know, so it started off with Camel, and then it went to Pall Mall, and then went back to Camel. I think I was a Camel smoker in most of my smoking career. And then I switched to Drum. So Camel and Drum, I don't know about Pall Mall, but Camel and Drum were supposedly chem-free cigarettes. And I would have to say that I knew that for a fact with drum, because if you put that cigarette down for a second, it would go out. Camel, I don't recall as much. I guess sometimes it would sort of, I never had to relight them, but it wasn't a fast burn. It wasn't like, you know, everybody starts off with Marlboro Lights or, you know, whatever, 100s or any of those. I didn't smoke Marlboro for a long time. I just didn't like the taste. And luckily for me, knowing it's a chemmed up cigarette, that's better the better way to go is to not smoke a chemmed up cigarette. So anyway, I was watching a movie and they had the drum hand roll. Oh, I was watching Pulp Fiction. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. When I got home Saturday night. So that was Friday. So Friday was a very, 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 very long day. So we got to Connecticut. I have to tell you, the foliage was beautiful because the trees have already started to change there. There were a lot of leaves already on the ground, but the colors were magnificent. Hasn't really started to happen in New York yet, but I haven't gone upstate, so I have to be honest with you. I can't corroborate my own story because I haven't gone upstate. And I'm sure that if I were to go north a little bit, fall is in full swing. So anyway, so down here in the city, there's no fall swing yet. Just crazy weather that's, you know, back and forth. But that's the nature of the beast, and that's where we've been for a while. So anyway, so Saturday I had a visitor to my studio, and a zillion different plans and you know, sort of kind of gave up on all of them, and had a very nice long visit, and then went to my favorite sushi place and had something I've never had there before, and that was fabulous. We did the boat. We did the sushi boat. It was fantastic. Actually, I think it was the sashimi. It was the love boat, it was called. And it was mostly sashimi. I think there were three rolls, and they were all really spectacular. So that was really good. And then I went home and I watched Pulp Fiction, and that was the only time I was like kind of missing my cigarettes because, you know, Vincent, a.k.a. John Travolta, smokes drum shag and he rolls his own cigarettes. And watching him do that, I was like, oh, I miss those days, you know, in college when you roll your cigarettes and you smoke and you paint and you're alone in a room. And even after, you know, my first few studios, I would smoke and work, you know. Those are the days when you would pull out the hard liquor and, no pun intended, and smoke and drink and work for hours and hours and hours. Yes, I remember those days. That was me. Hi, Lisa Zilker here. How are you? So anyway, so that was it. So I just kind of vegged and watched that movie, and I didn't think I was going to watch the whole thing, and I did, and it was, you know, half in and out of it. I was doing so many other, so many other things. It was kind of like, oh, all right, whatever. So, yeah, that was Saturday night. And then Sunday, I went to a friend's house, and I washed and cleaned my car. I think that's the first time I washed it myself in probably 2 years or 3 years. It's been washed once a year without fail because, you know, regardless of whether it needs it or not, once a year is pretty, I think that's, you know, for me, status quo. I don't wash my car very often. Very funny. I'm very female when it comes to the vehicle. It's just, you know, it gets me where I need to go, and I have a lot of changes in the car. So I have lots of shoes and jackets and, you know, various different things. Just the way it goes, you know, it's just the nature of the beast, right? I think that's very funny. Sorry, someone is beeping in. Can you imagine? Isn't that always the way? It's always the way. And I have to say something very funny. He's not coming up like anymore. It doesn't come up with his it doesn't come up with his mobile phone doesn't come up. So when I want to send him a text message, I can't even do that, you know. So anyway, so the next thing you know, oh yeah, where was I? So Sunday, so I end up doing a barbecue and I wash my car, I clean my car, I really clean my car. And I have to say, I can actually see out of the windows. How spectacular is that? Anyway, so yeah, and then it was like Monday. What did I do Monday? Monday. I don't even remember. Today's Wednesday. Oh, I was in my studio all day Monday. I started a new painting, and yesterday I worked on it. And basically, the background is all done. I just have to paint in the monuments and the moon. And I have to say, I'm really, really happy with this painting. So, yeah, Monday I met with a new collector. Yes, that's correct. I have a new collector. Yay. And yeah, Monday was a good day too. Actually, this whole week has been a really good week. Yesterday I went to see, oh, so yesterday I went to another art show. So I went to two actually. I went to Sotheby's first, and I saw the female surrealist show, and I have to say that Kate Sage's work is really magnificent, and there's a lot of similarity. So I've finally come up with what exactly it is that I am. And it covers two. So number one, I'm obviously an abstract expressionist. Without fail, that is what I am. Number two is I am a fantasy surrealist. Those are the two genres in which I fall under. And that's where it is. That's where I'm at. So, you know, it's interesting. Took a while to get there to figure out what it is exactly that I do. And I have to say it's funny because I've always described myself as a abstractionist or an expressionist, an abstract expressionist, abstractionist, all of those things all, you know, fall in the same kind of category heading, whatever. And that's where I've always put myself. But I have to say that there are a lot of drawings that I've been doing that I always said, oh, this is surreal. Oh, this is surreal. This is surreal. So somebody was asking me recently, how would you categorize yourself? And so I have to say, I posed the same question to about five people. And I got five different answers. And one of the answers was probably the nicest answer from one of the friends that I went up to Connecticut with, fellow artist. And I was told that my work really doesn't resemble anybody else's work, that I am really quite unique. And I find that interesting because there are paintings and pieces here and there from various other artists that are similar in feel. Or similar in color to my work. But the truth of the matter is, I really am an individualist and quite unique. Thank you. And I would never describe myself as different. I would say that we're all exactly the same, you know, hence my boat theory, that we're all on the same boat with various views of the water. Because if you're the captain at the top of the helm and you're looking down at the water, and overseeing everything, then from that vantage point, you're looking at everybody on the deck, everybody on the boat that, you know, that you can see that's, you know. But then if you're like an engineer and you're in the engineering room way down at the bottom of the boat, even though you have a high status, you have a low vantage point. So you're actually under the water, you know. So it depends on where you are on the on that ship, on that boat, and what you're looking at. So, do you have a porthole? Do you have a balcony? Do you have no window? You know, are you on the interior or are you on the exterior? Do you feel the wind on your face or are you in a closed room? All exactly the same. So, in my view of life, that's where we're at. I have to, so let me finish. So last night I went to see the show, and I have to say I really love the female surrealists. I love that time period, and I love all that work, and it really speaks to me on a it resonates on a very deep level for me. Okay. So I really enjoyed the show, and I have to say Kate Sage's work really was speaking to me. But two of my favorite, all-time favorite artists were in that show, of course, Frida Kahlo. And they only had one or two pieces, nothing spectacularly major by her, and a photograph. But Remedia Varo, and they were contemporaries, and those are two of my absolute all-time favorite female artists. And I'd have to say that they rate very high. They're probably at the top, in, not just in the category of female artists, in general. They're one of my, they're my favorites. They're in that category, in that group, in that grouping. I love how that goes. You know, somebody says to you, what's your favorite movie? Well, are you talking a foreign film? Are you talking comedy? Are you talking horror? You know, what's the sensibility behind the film? Is it something that plays on your emotions, or is it something that plays on your visual auditory experience? You know, is it thought provoking? Is it feel good? There's so many genres. So I have favorites on many levels of every single thing on the planet. I have music that's eclectic from one to the next, you know, and I vary in style. I would have to say the two that I decided that I am, abstract expressionist and fantasy surrealist, would play on my Gemini, that I have two very, very different personalities. They come out in two very, very different ways. So going and seeing that female show was fabulous. It resonated very strongly, very highly with me. And it's very funny because I have a new very good friend, and hopefully she will be in my life forever. And she is now in Brazil. And how odd that yesterday she also watched a female surreal show in Brazil. And she sent me images, and I thought that was really sweet. I didn't take any pictures. You know, I have to say, stopping and taking pictures all the time takes away from my feeling and my experience of the moment. And thusly, I don't like to stop and take pictures all the time. I'd rather just experience it. If there's something that I want to remember, I'll snap a picture. But more than not, I would rather experience it and have it in my bank of memory instead of in my bank on my computer. So there you have it. Sort of loses something, I think, in that moment when you take the picture. Anyway, so after that, I went to the Heritage Society, which is diagonally across the street from the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And I saw two very different shows, a gem show, African Gems, this family that has left Africa, and they were in the mining field, and thusly have a very beautiful collection of rare and everyday crystals and stones and such, and a lot of really beautifully cut pieces. And I have to say, honestly, pricing is really reasonable. Of course, it's not exactly in my price range, but technically speaking, it really is in my price range. I just wouldn't throw that kind of money on those kind of things because I don't have that kind of loose income at the moment. Anyway, so there were some really spectacular pieces. There's one in particular that I'm actually going to follow and see what happens with it, because there's a good chance that you may be able to get it. I may be able to get it after. We'll see. That would be a really big present to myself. And I deserve a good present, don't I? I think so. Actually, I've been giving myself a gift. I have a gift, and I've been spending a lot of money on this little gift. And truthfully, in the scheme of things, it's not a lot of money at all. You know, when I take classes, whatever. So anyway, the second half, the second part of that show, which was all together in the same two, three rooms, was illustrations. and they swung the gamut from fantasy advertisements, comic book, and the like, to Madeline and the little French girl. I read those books. They were a little before my time, but I read them anyway because it was still popular. I liked those books. So there were two illustrations with Madeline and her classmates and the zoo piece. There were three. So two of them were really Madeline and one was like in that same style. And then there were like a couple of Gibson girls. There were a lot of pinup girls. And then these crazy fantasy, you know, dragons and girls in chainmail, actually not really, but scantily clothed, I guess I would say. And I'm walking around the room, and I, you know, you never realize how many people you know and how small New York City and its 12 million really is. And I'm walking around the room, and I just come across a couple, and I just start chatting with them. And as we're chatting, somehow or other, it comes to pass that we exchange information, and the gentleman that the woman is with, and I don't know what exactly their connection is, their friends, but she's going back to Finland today, and he's a New Yorker. And I have to tell you, standing there with him, and we slowly recognized each other, we were friends, we were good acquaintances about 8 or 9 years ago, and I haven't seen him in all those years. But we came into the same circles a handful of times, you know, somewhere between 7 and 9 years ago. And I went to his house, and I knew all these things about him. And as we're standing there slowly recognizing each other, now he didn't remember my face, which is funny because everybody says that my face hasn't changed. I didn't recognize his face either, but there was a slow recognition to his face. Like there was a comfort that I had. But as we exchanged names, we both went like that aha moment, like, oh my goodness, I know you. And so I'm telling him a handful of things about himself as he's now telling me a handful of things about myself to confirm that we really do know each other. And then, you know, so we ended up chatting for quite a while and then walking out together. And that was very funny. And I love when those kind of things happen. Nice to reconnect with people. You know, it's always a good thing. It's very nice thing. It's like one of those things, that warms my heart. Yes, I remember you. Yes, I know you. Yes, this is not, you know, false. Is it a false? Don't you love that when your phone, you get on your phone and you talk, call so-and-so or such-and-such, and the phone says, calling false. And I'm like, where did that come from? You know, now my phone tells me, calling so-and-so the 50th, blank. And I'm like, where did that come from? So my phone does a handful of funny things. Although I have to tell you, I really love my new phone. And this morning, after a while of not downloading or uploading or shifting, changing or rearranging anything, I decided that I was going to put more music on my phone because 90% of what I do with my phone is listen to music anyway. So I was looking at my last phone with 16 gigs, and the music took up 98%, okay, probably 90%, but it was really over the top. And so now my new phone is 64 gigs, and this morning I was messing around with adding some music because technically that's why I wanted a larger gig capacity. So I now have 37 gigs of free space, meaning that 33 gigs of space, no, that's not right, that 30, no, 20, yes, I can add 28 gigs of space, 27 gigs of space, 64, not 65, 27 gigs of space is used. And I didn't look at what the numbers were, but I can tell you that the lion's share is music. Apps were small, and they're all on there, but I like that I'm not halfway. That made me very hopeful because I was like, I have so much more music I still want to put on there, but I just didn't feel like messing around with it. And I have to say, I actually deleted quite a lot of photos of gloves. Ah, go figure, gloves. Yes, that's what I take off the phone. So I was going through my glove inventory, and I am now up to 2,088 glove photos. But because I have to tell you, I need an assistant, and as soon as I get one, I'll let them skim through it, because I have the same glove where I've shot it at slightly different angles. So there are many, many gloves that are the same number, A, B, C, D. Most of them are two to four pictures of each. I usually do two. But there are a handful of pictures that are more, because I'm just crazy anal sometimes. So if you look at the computer and you ask it how many, it'll tell you there's 2,500 pictures of gloves. But the actual amount of pictures, not duplicates, is 2,088. Wow, it's so crazy, right? That makes me think. And then I'm like going, that project is really, I think it's ready to be processed and put into good use. That made me laugh as well. Anyway, so it's been a very busy week, and it's far from over. I still have so much to do, and then it's just like I'm here in my studio, and I have to leave here at like 3:30, 3:45. And run into the city, and I have a class, and then I have to run downtown and stop in Lower Manhattan, and then I'm meeting a friend uptown. It's like I'm just all over the place. Anyway, so the Heritage Show, I think that auction is Thursday. You know, that's what they do. They have a preview, and then they have an auction. So, yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on that one. I think that's cool. So anyway, yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. Tomorrow I deliver more artwork, and I don't know. There's just, you know, I'll finish my new painting, and then I can actually go and buy supplies. Supplies! Yes, I can. I will tell all next week, or as soon as the bird is in the hand, I will tell all. I will divulge all information. So my new painting is very, very similar to the picture that was just sold on my, Fine Art America. And it was really funny because my new collector, who I met with on Monday, said that it was really hard to find that piece, and that she likes so much of my work. And then when she was going through and looking, that was the one that really jumped out and grabbed her. Oh, that was so loud. 90 seconds. I hope that this was clear, because I have to tell you, the English woman just screamed at 90 seconds in my ear. And I tried to turn the volume down, but I never know if you can hear me as well as I can hear others. I don't know what the sensitivity is. Is it louder on my side, or is it louder on your side? I don't quite know. Anyway, so yeah, she said it was, 60 seconds. So she's still screaming in my ear, and she's going to scream one more time when she tells me there's 10 seconds left. Anyway, so wrapping it up, she said it was hard to find, and that she was looking for something specific, and thusly she found it. And now all is underway. So I have to say really quickly, thank you for listening. And I hope that everybody gets to see, you know, I don't know if you can go and see these shows. I don't know what the public open turnout is. I was on a list. And so, you know, I got checked in. But Sotheby's, they're open until 5, and you can just go in. It's on the second floor. And take a look. I don't know when the auction is. 10 seconds. Yeah, my eardrum's going to pop. So I don't know. I'm going to have to turn it down yet again. Anyway, so So if you get a chance to go to Sotheby's and you're in New York, go and see that show. It's really magnificent. The one downside is the lighting. They made it very like mood lighting in the room. And so it's kind of hard to see the pieces. I never understand that, why they would turn the lights down. Now, I don't mind slightly dim, but it's dark. And so they're trying to make a mood, an eerie kind of feel. But the work really, really is special. Definitely worth the viewing. So if you get a chance, go and see it. Anyway, all right, so this is Lisa of the Lisa Show saying thank you so much for listening. Have a fabulous rest of the week, and I'll speak to you next week. Thank you so much.